Each one gathered here, in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord. Oh yeah, did you forget about it this past week? Already? You know, we forget so quick, and we've had Easter, and we had communion service. And this preacher is called to preach to you again, and I hope you don't feel like today's the third Sunday that you have to listen to him. But the Word of God is new every morning. I trust you found it that way. And I trust you've lived this past week, 2 weeks, in the light of his resurrection and his soon return. I trust that. This message of the morning, we're going to back up a little bit compared to the last two messages I preached, and we're going to go right before Jesus' death and resurrection. We're going to look at an account there. We're going to pull some thoughts from it. And that is, you can turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. It is a passage of Scripture that there's three of the Gospels record this account. And this account is where I want to pull my message from this morning, is from a happening that happened when Jesus was here on this earth. We know the account of Lazarus, how he was dead. He was put in the tomb. And Jesus came along later and he called him forth from that. Now we come to chapter 14. Mark does not give a lot of detail who was here. But let's take the time right now to read this account here, the first 9 verses of Mark chapter 14. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. Now we know it happened. We know the scripture. But these chief priests and scribes were pondering. They were thinking about what they could do to get Jesus. But they, as they plotted in their own human wisdom, said, not on the feast day, because they feared the people and how they looked at Jesus. In verse 3 now again, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman with having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Turn with me in your Bibles back to John chapter 12. We want to get this setting here of where this had taken place at and who all was there. Just kind of for a springboard as we think of this woman and doing what she could. And how that can apply to us today. But I like to look at who all was here at this feast as they were there in this house. John chapter 12. I was in chapter 13. I didn't think it looked right. Sorry about that. Verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, that very place that it talks about, where Lazarus was which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. In verse 4, we see who it was. John takes a specific time to write who it was. He has a lot of different details about it. Then said one of his disciples. Now, in Mark, it says, then said a number of them. But it says here that Judas was the one. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief in the bag, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. All right, there's a few details I wanted to pull out there as we think and ponder on this passage. It was at the house of Simon the leper. Was he the father of Lazarus? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. And that doesn't matter. But we see a man that had been leprous. There was no cure for leprosy in those times other than Jesus, as he cured them. Here was a man that must have experienced Jesus' power of healing. There's the house where it happened at. We also know from John that Lazarus was there. He sat down there and ate with him. I believe Jesus was the honored guest in this house as he was there, partaking with them in a meal. They had visitors. The excitement that must have been there. Because here was a man, but he was more than just a man. He was a healer. He had brought healing to these people in this house. He was an honored guest, sir. We also see in John chapter 12 the detail of who it was that anointed Jesus' feet. Now, in Mark and in Matthew, they say she anointed his head. In John, we find where he said that anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped them with her hair. I like to think that maybe she started with his head. And this costly ointment and ended with his feet. She gave it all. She gave it all. Willing to go to any extent to realize who her Lord was. Martha. Mary was the one that did the anointing. Martha. In this account, we remember, went back at after Lazarus was raised, Martha was cumbered about much serving. Just a little side note. In this account, Martha was serving. Martha was serving. She enjoyed serving. She wanted everything right. So that's the account where it takes place at. There is a meal going on. They're eating. And this woman comes, Mary comes, and shows respect for her master. But what I want to pull out of this morning is verse 8 of Mark chapter 14, verse 8. She hath done what she could. That's the title I'd like to give for the message of this morning. She hath done what she could. I'd like to look at this and try to pull some thoughts that we can pull and apply to ourselves today. The question I'd like to ask each and every one of us, have you done what you could for the Lord? He is here today. He is close beside you every day of your life. What are you doing for Him? What are you doing for Him? She had done what she could. There is a lot of work to do about us. The Lord calls us to many things. Are you doing what you can? I have 4 points I'd like to look at this morning as we go through this message and ponder. She hath done what she could. How am I feeling it? What God calls me to today? Is there some encouragement we can receive? I believe there is. Let's look at what Mary worked with. Verse 3, the first point I have, she did what she could with what she had. I don't know if this was a savings account for, I don't know what this ointment, what possessed Mary to have this spikenard, this ointment that was so costly. If you study into it, it was a year's wages. Right there in that bottle. The way to get it out of that bottle is to break it. It was of no value anymore. The smell was coming out of this spikenard. It was an import. She was willing to give that for our Lord. I see in this that she didn't let a little thing like money stand in the way of her adoration for her Lord. She didn't care how valuable that was to her and how precious it was. It was nothing compared to her Lord and what He was to her. She did what she could with what she had. She did what she could. What I want to pull out of that is she did something. She gave of this ointment that was so expensive. She was willing to put forth effort, give a year's wages to honor her Lord. She gave it to Jesus. Now the question I want to bring to us this morning. We studied in Sunday school about giving our life for Jesus. Giving Him, dying to self. Have you died to self and given all to serve Jesus? Where I want to go with that. You know, today, we can look so much at others about us, and we can say, and I trust it don't come into the church, but too often I believe it can. What are they doing? Why did they do it that way? This is the way it should be done. And we start trying to run our own agenda in life. They did something. It was their way of giving to the Lord. You know, if we would have all had our different ideas about the way to hang this stone out here, and we would have went about it in our own way, it probably wouldn't turn out so good in the end product. But there was times yesterday where I do know that, well, they said the screws can go 8 to 10 inches apart or something like that. And sometimes we got them a little closer than that. And I didn't see Brother Joe going down through and say, well, you have to pull that screw out and move it over here because we're going to run too many screws. No, he did say that we ran a lot more screws than what he thought. But the brotherhood's working together. They're doing something with the abilities that they had. or maybe today, we can complain and gripe about what others are not doing and fail to realize what they are doing. And maybe there's some of us that just sit there and think about what we would like to do, but that's all the further it gets. It's just a thought. No, this woman did something. She used it. Her love for her Lord moved her to give in the way she had. And it cost her a lot. She used this ointment to anoint the head of Jesus. And like we said, John says the feet, but I believe her adoration affected every area of her life. She maybe honored him as she anointed the head of as Lord of her life. Now this is some speculation. But think with me. Head of her life. She honored him as head, as Lord of her life. And maybe she came to the feet and she thought of the servanthood. How we need to work it out in daily life. Humility. We too need that as we do what we can to serve our Lord. We could turn to Matthew 25 and think of the parable of the talents. As God gives people different talents, 5, 2, 1, whatever it is. What are we doing with God, what God has entrusted to us? Or are we burying it? Hiding it? There's some things that we can do. No matter where we're at. No matter whether you're close to people in the church. No matter whether persecution would come and divide the church and scatter us over the earth. There are some things that we can do that will never change. One of the things, the main thing I have in that is pray. Pray. It's a gift that God has given that everyone can do is pray. We go later on in this Mark chapter 14. And you know that's an account where Jesus went out to pray. Pray. It's an important part of our Christian life. Do what you can to pray to help others get through. In America, we're blessed. We go to school, we learn how to read. Our printing presses can print out Bibles. How many do you have? How many does it take for you to read? Have you done what you could? And have you taken time to read the Bible daily as you ought to? So then, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's in God's word that we grow. Have you done what you could with what you have? God has given you much to be responsible for. We have the Bible readily printed for us. Are we using it wisely? Today, we also have the precious promise. We have the precious blood of Jesus that He shed for us. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19, it's kind of paraphrased. We have been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. Today, has it affected your life? That lamb without spot and without blemish. We have the precious blood of Jesus that can touch our lives and the lives of those about us. Have you done what you could with it? as it washed your sins away and my sins away? Have you taken it to others that are in need of a washing? There's precious promises in scriptures as well. First, 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have the scriptures, promises in there. If those that are faithful grasp a hold of them, have you taken a hold of them? Have you done what you could with them? And let them affect your life. The second point I have of the message is kind of builds on the first one. The second point, she did what she could while she could do it. You think about as she was there and Jesus was there at their house. Jesus was there in person. And I believe Mary, as she looked at him and realized that the promise or the prophecies of what was going to happen in life, in his life, as she viewed that he was going to die, give his life, I believe she grasped that. And she anointed his body for the burial, it says. She did what she could while she could do it. You know, we do great at procrastinating sometimes today. We'll do it sometime. We'll do it tomorrow. We're always waiting for the right time. We're waiting for the Lord to speak at the right time. We're waiting for a clear sign. Time is short, brothers and sisters. How long are you going to wait? You know the saying, tomorrow never comes. Because when you get to tomorrow, it's today. And it's tomorrow again. Always waiting for the right time. Now is the time. Now is the time. Mary sensed that. What did it do to her? She realized that if she's going to anoint Jesus, now is the time. If she's going to have Jesus as Lord of her life, now is the time. If I'm going to let Jesus affect my life as I go through life, now is the time. If I wait till tomorrow and say, I'll just do different tomorrow, is it going to be any more convenient when you get to that day? And it's today. No, Mary, she acted immediately. She didn't wait until his death. Verse 8, the last part of Mark chapter 14, verse 8, she came aforehand to anoint my body. She's not going to wait till after it's too late. She's not going to wait till it happens. But the promises are there. And we believe the promises. I'm going to do it while I have an opportunity. Do you believe the promises today? Do you believe Jesus is coming back? Are you going to wait until it's reality and there is no more opportunity? I trust not. Act immediately. Do something about it now. We're living in the day of grace. Let's move on in this thought of she did what she could while she could do it. Romans 14 verse 19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. That edify has the idea of building up. Have you taken the time to speak kind words to others? Have you told them that you appreciate them? Are you speaking positively about people or are you speaking negatively? Have you shared acts of kindness to others? Maybe it's flowers that we send to someone. Or little acts of kindness. It don't take big things. You know, Christians, as we think of relationships and the way we try to blend together with our brethren and sisters. Christians aren't perfect. This is a quote I found. Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. Think about it. When you start pointing at that beam that you think you see in the other person's eye, and here it's just a little mote and you have a beam in your own eye. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. You know, we're each and every one of us. We're just a forgiven person. Jesus forgave us such a great debt. Why do we want to pick out faults in others? Maybe there is areas that the other one needs to grow in. Yes, we need that. We need that encouragement to encourage one another. And so much the more as we see that day approaching, we need to help us through to glory. What are we going to do with these as we think of building others up? Doing it while we can do it. These little acts of kindness, act now, because tomorrow may be too late. You take a husband that has lost a wife and think about how he wishes he had another day, another minute, to show a lack of act of kindness in their marriage. Or husband, or wife for a husband that she's lost. But no, you know, we get in the grind of life and oftentimes relationships are what suffer. We don't take the time for it as we ought to. Maybe it's a friend that we have. We appreciate them. We enjoy them. They are an encouragement to us. But we've never said the words to them. They just know it. They just know it. Say it. Share it with them. So they know what you're feeling in your heart. As we build others up, another thought I have under that. She did what she could while she could do it. Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. Let's read verse 1 and 2. Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Helping one another, building up others. Yes. When there's a work project. But what about maybe the burden doesn't come to something that's going to benefit us? We can't see no return. Yes, as we work in a building project at the church, we all get to enjoy it. But what about when it's the unseen? Behind the scenes. Or maybe it's just an emotional struggle. Nobody else knows it but you. Bear you one another's burdens. Build each other up. Help each other along. We can also, as we build each other up, building in love. Ephesians 4, we're not going to take the time to go there and read those verses. But you know, it talks there about speaking the truth in love. Giving in love. Encouraging one another in love. Oh yes, we need that in our church. Do it while you can, while the time is still here to do it. Don't pass it off. Don't push it off till it's too late. A teacher had a class of students. She had the students take a piece of paper or two pieces of paper and go around the classroom and write down each child's name that was in the class. Leave a space between each name. In that space that was between each name was space to write one thing that you appreciate about that person. One thing. How many of you can come up with one thing that you appreciate about everybody? I trust each and every one can. They handed them in to the teacher. She compiled the list. Student's name, the list that everybody said about them, what they appreciated about them. She gave that list to each of the students. There's some years went by. She was at a funeral of one of the students. And it was shared with her how this student had a treasured possession. Something they found in his wallet. It was a piece of paper that was taped, patched together, held very dear to him. It was that piece of paper the teacher had compiled. The rest of the students that were there all started sharing that they also had that piece of paper in a very special spot for them. As I had read this story, I wondered today, should we do it in a church? Have you taken the time to tell your brother or your sister what you appreciate about them? Take the time. While you can still do it. The third point, as we look at Mary and what she did for the Lord, she did what she could, regardless of who criticized her. Mark chapter 14, verse 4 and 5, as we look at those verses, and they were filled with indignation within themselves, and it's just something's not right here. And if you read this passage, as you come to verse 6, I'll just say it this way. As I would have read this passage in the past, and it was a new thought to me as I pondered on this more. But I would almost in my mind would have said, well, she did this act and then she left the room and then they started criticizing her for what she did. But in verse 6, Jesus said, let her alone. It's almost can give you the thought that she was right there yet. And they started criticizing her right in her face. I believe she went on with her task, no matter who criticized her. Today, giving your all to Jesus can bring criticism to you. Oh, yes. Does he really? Is he going to do that? Is he going to go the whole way? Is he really serious in his Christian life? Or maybe we go on the thing where we get scared of criticism. You know, Mary didn't get scared of criticism. She went ahead and did it. Maybe today we can get in this thing, I'd hate to do that because what are people going to think about me? What are people going to think about my family? I mean, after all, we want to blend in pretty well. We don't want to be out, sticking out like a sore thumb. We don't want to draw undue attention to ourselves. Mary didn't care. She went ahead. It's our Lord. It's what she felt was she was compelled to do as she served her Lord. And she went ahead and did it. Today, there will always be critics. I believe. I trust not in the church. But in the world, there will always be critics. You know, maybe it's those that complain. Things just aren't fair for them. Or maybe we're those that find fault. I don't know how you find yourself. Some of these things can hit pretty close home with me if I ponder on them. You know, it's so easy to find fault with someone. Or maybe we're just always worried about, if I give up totally for the Lord, if I sell out for Him, what's it going to cost me? She didn't worry about what the cost was. She just gave it. She felt Jesus was worthy of it. She wanted to give her best. And so she didn't let the criticism get in the way of her love for the Lord. And Jesus stood up for her and said, let her alone. We have the same promise today. You follow Jesus as He leads you through life. He too stands up for you. He too helps you through life. Let us rely on Him. Turn with me back to John chapter 12 again. This passage that is a close tie to the one we read in Mark 14. I find this interesting as we think of criticism. John chapter 12, and I'd like to look at those verses there from 4 to 6. We know it was Judas Iscariot that opened his mouth and spoke. He was the one that had the money bag and carried it around, and I believe he was concerned about the finances. He's the one that opened his mouth, though. But notice with me how he went about it. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Verse 6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but he was a thief. Critics oftentimes like to use reasoning. Maybe they start grasping at straws. This money, we could use it for over here. But if I say about using it for there, it's going to sound wrong. So let's play our cards just right and make it look like it's going to be this here. Judas was not concerned for the poor. His concern was not for the poor. In truth, he didn't even care about the poor. They can fend for themselves. That's not how Jesus lived. Jesus showed concern for the poor. But that's what he said. Judas brought it through as it was concern for the poor. Now you apply that to our lives today. Does some of our criticism that we share, as we look at others, is there some hidden agenda behind it? Let's ponder it. As we criticize, we oftentimes don't like to look at what the real reason is. We paint it as something else. And it ends up destroying instead of building up. Remember, Mary didn't worry about the critics, but she moved on in her relationship with her Lord. Let's move on to the fourth point. Mark chapter 14, verse 6. As she wrought this good work, Jesus is speaking. He said, "She hath wrought a good work on me." On Jesus. And it ties together with the other part of the message as well, but she did what she could for Jesus is the fourth point I had. You know, Jesus was her Lord. It was who she was worshiping. Her motive for doing what she did was right. It was unselfish of her to give of that ointment that was so costly. She was doing it out of compassion, not with wrong motives, no matter what the critics said. She wasn't doing it for a show of the money that she gave to Jesus or that she poured on him. She knew in verse 8. We can see a glimpse that she knew that he had come to die and the promises were going to hold out through life. And she wanted to give it while she could. The question for us this morning: what are you withholding from Jesus? Is there anything in your life that you're withholding from Jesus? Or have we laid all of self on the altar? Are we in total surrender to Him? Or are you afraid of that total surrender? I remember, I remember back in when I was, before I gave my heart to the Lord, this total surrender scared me. I don't know what made it come into my mind. I don't know that. And it's not for here. That's not what I want to bring out of this. But there was an aspect of me that cringed. What if the Lord calls me to something I don't want to do? You know, it's Satan's tactic of trying to hold me in fear. What if I have to go to a mission field? What if I have to leave where I'm comfortable at? What if there comes persecution and I got to stand against it? What if he calls me to be a minister? Are you in total surrender to God and to whatever He calls you to? Give up all, even if it goes out of your control. Willing to do it. What are you withholding from Jesus? Is there something standing between you and total surrender to Jesus? You know, if we don't have total surrender, He can't fill us. He can't be part of us. Let's be in total surrender. Give up all to Him. Or maybe you fear a total devotion to Him will cost too much. Mary didn't worry about that. She was willing to give it. Think with me of the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 as they gave up their life. They willingly did it because they were serving a Lord that had affected their life and had given them salvation. Today, giving what we have to Jesus brings blessing. What is holding you back from a total surrender to God? What is standing between you and a life of service to Him? This Mary gave us a good example to follow. Willing to stand out, willing to be different, willing to give her life, willing to give her earnings, and let it affect every day, area of her life. The rewards of her sacrifice of love. Verse 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. You want to be counted in the Hebrews chapter 11, in the faith chapter, if you want to be among them, you got to give yourself to the Lord. Let Him control your life. There is rewards. There's heaven coming for those that have make the sacrifice of love for Jesus. Again, highlighting in the closing part here of the message. What will you do with what you have for Jesus? What are you doing with it? Your body, your life, what are you doing with it? Have you given it to Jesus? Is He in total control? If there's an areas in our life where we are not doing that, when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? Is it going to be that evasive tomorrow? It's always tomorrow. Always tomorrow. Brothers and sisters, tomorrow may never come. But we have today. We have today. Let us remember. This woman was commended. She had done what she could. There's a gravestone that I saw those words penned on. She hath done what she could. What's going to be penned on your grave? May it be, whether it's on our gravestone or not, may it be that people are talking and they realize who we are, and it's only in the blood of Jesus. But our memories of that person, they did what they could to help Christ and to serve Him faithfully. Giving up all of self, I trust. And that's my prayer for each and every one this morning. Let us kneel for prayer.